In the name of the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit, Amen. I'd like to welcome you all to our Perseverance Family Conversation. As always, it's great to be with all of you at the beginning of this season of Advent, in preparation for the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As always is our custom, we like to start off by inviting Mary to be with us. Mary is the Mother of God. Mary is the mother of the church, and Mary is the mother of each and every one of us. Furthermore, when we pray the prayer of the Hail, Holy Queen, at the end of the rosary, we invoke Mary as our life, our sweetness, and our hope. So let's pray the angelic salutation, the Hail Mary. Invite Mary to pray with us and to pray for us as we say the prayer that she loves most. Together, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. I'd like to invite to be with us our spiritual director. What a privilege it is to have as our spiritual director God Himself, the third person of the Blessed Trinity, the Holy Spirit. What a great privilege this is. The Holy Spirit, like Mary, has many wonderful titles. The Holy Spirit is the Paraclete. Holy Spirit is also known as the Gift of Gifts. Holy Spirit is also known as the Sweet Guest of the Soul. Holy Spirit is also known as the Counselor, as well as the Consoler. Holy Spirit is also known as the Interior Master. St. Paul reminds us in his letter to the Romans, chapter 8, that we really don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Holy Spirit intercedes with ineffable groans, so we can say, Abba. Abba, which means Father. So let's invite the Holy Spirit to come to be with us. And beg the Holy Spirit to enlighten our minds with the light of divine truth. And to set our hearts on fire with divine love. As we pray. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and enkindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. And thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us that by the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in His consolation through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady of Fatima, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Michael the Archangel, pray for us. Saint Gabriel, pray for us. Saint Raphael, pray for us. Saint Ignatius of Loyola, pray for us. Saint Francis Xavier, pray for us. Saint Maria Faustina Kowalska, pray for us. All God's angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hachu, my friends, a family that prays together, stays together. And a world at prayer is a world at peace. As always, it's great to be with all of you. And after praying with you, I promise to pray for you. When I celebrate the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass later on, I'll place all of you on the altar. Offering various intentions. First intention, that we would all be open to the Holy Spirit. Perhaps during the course of the day, we can lift our minds to God and to the Holy Spirit and say, short but powerful prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come through the heart of Mary. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come through the heart of Mary. My next intention, I'd like to pray for our families, for the conversion, the sanctification, and the salvation of all of our family members. The conversion, the sanctification, and salvation of all of our family members. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ stated that, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world if he loses his soul? So pray that in this holy season, our family members that perhaps are distant from God, that they would come back. It's not too late. Then, I'd like to pray for that very special group of people in the world who will be dying sometime today. That they would open up their hearts to God's mercy and be saved. With respect to ourselves, we don't know the day nor the hour that the Lord is going to call us. Let's pray, my friends, that we would be prepared for that most important moment in our lives, which is the moment that our Lord will call us from time to eternity to be judged on the way that we have lived. May God grant us the grace of all graces, that of a holy and happy death. Wait, my friends, before diving into the riches of the Word of God, just a warm welcome to all of you, to our Perseverant Family Conversation, and just giving a brief overview of the season that we're celebrating starting yesterday. We entered into the season of Advent, which means coming, which consists of 4 week preparation, 4 Sundays preparation for the birthday of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. One of the most important symbols for Advent is called the Advent wreath. A brief explanation of the Advent wreath. Usually the color is green. Green is a color that symbolizes hope. Hope is related to trusting God. Even in the midst of the trials of life, that we all have them, we want to trust God. That short prayer from Divine Mercy, Jesus, I trust in you, is a prayer very pleasing to God if it's said with honesty from our hearts. Then the Advent wreath is circular. It points to one of the attributes of God. God is eternal. When we say eternal, it means there's no beginning and no end. With respect to ourselves, we had a beginning. But we don't have an end. Once God infused a soul within us, our soul is an immortal reality that will live forever. We hope in heaven. The Advent wreath, my friends, also has 4 candles. A lighted candle symbolizes Christ himself. He said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus also said in the Sermon on the Mount that you are the light of the world. He is the light par excellence, but we participate in his light by living out our Catholic faith in a very authentic way. The 4 candles are symbolic of the 4 Sundays in Advent. Then there are different colors. There are the 3 purple candles. Purple is the color that the priest wears in the Mass most of the time, as well as Lent, as well as when the priest is hearing confessions, he places a purple stole over him, indicative of the call to penance and to conversion. Lent is a strong time of conversion, but also Advent, we're called to convert our lives to Christ, the light of the world. You notice, however, there is a pink candle. That pink candle points to Gaudete Sunday, which would be the 3rd Sunday of Advent. And it's related to joy. Joy because Christ is about to be born. Then at Christmas, In the middle of the Advent wreath is placed a candle, usually white, but it could be red too. The big candle that is placed in the middle of the Advent wreath is the birthday of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So let me tell you a story and then we can move into the gospel for today. Well, it was almost 14 years ago that the Broom family, my family, organized a very special celebration. My father was still alive. And the special celebration was going to be the 80th birthday of my mother. That time she was in Vero Beach, Florida. 9 children, and now they have 39 grandchildren. They had probably about 36 grandchildren back then. And it was a surprise birthday party. I don't know if you've ever participated in a surprise birthday party. It's not that easy, especially the bigger the family. But the way my father organized it was, my mom is a daily mass, daily communicant for many, many years. She was invited to go to mass in the nearby church. I had arrived from California, and when she arrived at the church, she noticed something different. There were more cars, and there at the entrance of the church, she entered in. She saw many of her family members and myself dressed to celebrate the Mass. She was almost shocked, filled with joy that her siblings and grandchildren had traveled from far and wide to celebrate her 80th birthday. It was a beautiful celebration, the Mass, and then we went to a place to celebrate her birthday. There was a lot of sharing among the siblings, and it was a very happy day in her life. Perhaps you're saying, why are you telling us that story of your mother's 80th birthday in a surprise birthday party? Well, purposely, because the success of the party depends upon the prior preparation. Now, for my father to organize that and to call the siblings and have the Mass, the church, and then have the banquet hall prepared took a lot of work. A lot of work. So I say that related to where we are right now. Right now we are in the Advent season, and it's a time of preparation. So it's a time of preparation for the most important of all birthdays. That birthday is the birthday of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So just starting off, it comes quickly. Let's do all we possibly can to prepare for the birthday of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Okay. First reading, we're reading the prophet Isaiah. And the essential theme of Isaiah today is the Lord will gather all nations into the eternal peace of the kingdom of God. I'd like to just take that word peace. Saint Augustine defines peace as the tranquility of order. That's the Augustinian definition of peace. The Hebrew people would actually greet each other with the word shalom. And shalom means peace be with you. So there's an Advent invitation. Peace is the tranquility of order. Peace is the tranquility of order. Perhaps it could be a worthy objective or enterprise for all of us to look into our lives, look into our hearts. See, what in our lives is still in disorder, in disarray, in confusion, out of place? And let's try to order the disordered. And that's really one of the primary purposes of the spiritual exercise of St. Ignatius, to try to order the disordered in our lives so that we can seek and carry out God's will in our lives. Also, there is one of the Beatitudes, blessed are the peacemakers. Let's pray for world peace. In the Ukraine, in the Gaza border, in Lebanon, let's pray for world peace. So that's my brief reflection on the first reading of Isaiah. The responsorial psalm is taken from Psalm 122, and the antiphon is, let us go rejoicing to the house of the Lord. Season of Advent is a time of joy because we're anticipating the birthday of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and that's a source of joy. Let us go rejoicing to the house of the Lord. Many interpretations of that. One interpretation could be for us to go to church more often in the season of Advent. Perhaps even to go to daily Mass if we're not doing that. But also inspired by the Holy Spirit, invite someone to return to the house of the Lord. Even though I have said this many times, it's worthy of repeating, the biggest religious group in our country are non-practicing Catholics. Let us go rejoicing to the house of the Lord. So non-practicing Catholics is the biggest group, religious group in our country. Let's invite them back. Let's be thankful also that we can go to the house of the Lord, that we're not living in a country where religion is oppressed and prohibited, but we live in a free country where we can go to church and we can praise God in our churches. Now, the gospel for today is the gospel taken from Matthew chapter 8. And it's the beautiful gospel of the healing of the servant of the centurion. So I'd like to delve into that with you. Let's enter into the Ignatian mode of an Ignatian contemplation where we're trying to imagine the scene, composition of place. See the persons, contemplate their actions, contemplate, meditate upon the words, and then to derive fruit from it. And of course, we want to have a colloquy or a conversation with the Lord. A colloquy or a conversation with the Lord. Colloquy or conversation with the Lord. So let's set the scene, and it's such a beautiful passage that we can really derive a lot of fruit, spiritual graces from this biblical passage. Jesus enters the town of Capernaum, and this centurion approaches him. Who is this person, the centurion? Who is he anyway? Well, he's not a Jew. He's a Roman soldier. And centurion means, from the Latin, it means hundred. He's a Roman officer that has soldiers underneath him. But also he has commanders over him. And he's a man that obeys orders, but also he's a man that commands, and his soldiers underneath him obey him. So he's a man of respect and discipline and order. But also he has many other beautiful qualities that we can admire and even try to imitate. Now, one of the key elements of this passage is that the centurion has a servant in his home that is suffering intensely. Basically, he's paralyzed. And his suffering is very intense. Keenly aware of this, centurion goes to Jesus, hoping that Jesus would heal his servant. And upon the request, Jesus says that I will go. I will come and I will cure him. So Jesus makes the intention he's going to go to his house, to the house of the centurion, and he'll heal him there. But the centurion's response is astounding. He doesn't feel worthy that Jesus should enter into his house. Doesn't feel worthy. And he tells Jesus very directly that he's not worthy that the Lord should come underneath his roof. And he says to the Lord that he's a man that obeys orders, but also he's a man that commands. When he says to one, go, he goes. When he says to another, come, he comes. When he tells a servant to do something, he does it. Basically, he's telling the Lord, as long as you say, your word is enough to heal my servant, you don't even have to go there. I believe that your word is enough that can heal my servant. And our Lord marvels at the faith of this centurion. He's not a Jew. Jesus is going to go on to say that he's not seen as much faith among the Jews. And Jesus will go on to say, people will come from the east and west and will recline with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob at the banquet of the kingdom of heaven. Our Lord is saying that he's opening up the door of salvation to all. Not just the Jews, but also to the non-Jews. So I've summarized, my friends, the biblical passage for today, giving you, you might even say, kind of an Ignatian contemplation, where we're entering into the scene, we're trying to imagine what's going to happen. Now, my style is to summarize the passage, give you an interpretation, and then an application. So that's my style, to summarize, the topic, paraphrasing it in my own words, to give you an interpretation, and then how can we apply this? Okay, so let's look at this centurion and his relationship to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and derive fruit from this. We've already mentioned the centurion would be a Roman officer in the Roman army, a man of position, a man of discipline, a man who's obedient, a man who demands obedience to his soldiers. Now, what was his relationship to Jesus? We don't know it exactly, but we can conjecture that he had already seen our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Perhaps already even talked to him before. If not, he had heard about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Perhaps he had some friends or relatives who had contact with Jesus Christ who told this centurion about the person of Christ. So he was aware of Jesus. But this awareness of Jesus was not something speculative, but rather he had faith. That's a key element of the gospel today, is this centurion, my friends, really had faith. So there's one fruit that we want to be begging for today. We want to beg the Lord that he would strengthen our faith. In another passage, this man approaches Christ and they're talking about faith, and the man says, Lord, I do have faith, but strengthen my faith. That could be our prayer. Lord, strengthen our faith. Lord, strengthen our faith. So all these different elements of this centurion can be food for thought and for our own meditation. Okay, here now, what I'm going to mention is, I think it's an obvious virtue of this centurion, but sometimes we can we can skip over it. And it is the great compassion, the great compassion that centurion has. Now, back then, we're talking about 2,000 years ago, one of the most extensive social classes would be that of servants or even slaves. That should be taken into account when we're going through a lot of these biblical passages, especially this one. And servants and slaves were not always treated in the best way possible. But this centurion, he had a great love for his servant, for his slave. And there's a lot in that. I'll explain. Every person in this world that is brought into existence by divine providence and the loving will of God, every person has infinite value. Has both dignity, created in the image and likeness of God, baptized Son of God, and destiny. Destiny means his ultimate destiny is to go to heaven. So this centurion had great respect for the dignity of this, his servant. And the word compassion is a word that comes from Latin. The prefix would be cum passio. Cum would be means with, passio, suffering. Is that this centurion was entering into the very heart of his servant who was suffering, and the suffering of the servant became the suffering of the centurion himself. Beautiful virtue. It's a magnificent virtue. So as I'm telling you, we're going through it, and I'm giving you interpretation and then the application. Let me pray, my friends. That we would show compassion to others, especially those who are suffering. Yesterday, one of the Spanish catechists said that her mother was suffering in a nearby hospital. So after the 10 o'clock Mass, I traveled to a nearby hospital, and I visited this elderly woman in the hospital room. I greeted her with a smile. I prayed with her. I gave her the three sacraments of confession, the anointing of the sick, and then I gave her Holy Communion. Then with her daughter, we prayed. I gave her a final blessing. And when I was driving the hospital, I was saying, Lord, I really want to try to live out the corporal works of mercy and the spiritual works of mercy and the Beatitudes. Lord, I really want to have those three schemes as the inspiration of my whole life. The eight Beatitudes, the seven corporal works of mercy, and the seven spiritual works of mercy. I want that to be the whole thrust of my life. And I said, Lord, I'm visiting you in this sick person. Remember me, Lord, when you come into your kingdom. So we see the overflowing, compassionate heart. Of the centurion. But who has an even more compassionate heart? It is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's right. The Sacred Heart of Jesus is a heart filled with mercy and love and kindness and compassion and concern. So the compassionate heart of this centurion is going to encounter the compassionate heart of Christ himself. Let us pray, my friends, that we also would have a compassionate heart, a loving heart, a merciful heart, a tender heart, a kind heart. That can be a prayer that we make in this holy season. Of Advent. But not only do we see his compassion toward his suffering servant. But we contemplate the person and the attitude of this centurion where he doesn't feel worthy. He recognizes the greatness of Christ, His holiness. And he says to the Lord, he's not worthy for him to come underneath his roof. The incredible humility. My friend, that's another virtue I think we want to pray for. Always, but especially in Advent as we draw close to Christ. That not only will we have a compassionate heart, but also that we would have a humble heart. Only once in sacred scripture does Jesus actually describe his heart. This we can find in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. Jesus actually describes two characteristics of his heart. He says, "Come to me, all of you who are weary, and I will give you rest." Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, because I am meek and humble of heart. You'll find rest for your souls, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Those are two characteristics or attributes of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Both meekness and humility. And with this, the centurion had a limitless trust and confidence Right, he had a limitless trust and confidence. In our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He really believed that Christ would heal his servant without having to go to his house. In other words, he believed that the mere word of Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God, and the Divine Physician would be enough to heal him. And Jesus marvels, and it happens. And most of you are aware of this, that this biblical passage from the Gospel of St. Matthew was so important that the Church, the Catholic Church, actually incorporates this biblical passage in the Mass shortly before we receive Holy Communion. Behold the Lamb of God, behold He who takes away the sins of the world. We respond, "Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come underneath my roof, but only say the word and my soul shall be healed." So my friends, we've had a really good conversation today. It's always great to be with all of you. So I'd like to invite all of you, my friends, to share a conversation with your friends. share our conversation with your friends. So that we can preach the word of God to the whole world. And I, for my part, my friends, I would like to give all of you my priestly blessing. The Lord be with you. Through the intercession of Mary Most Holy and Saint Joseph and God's angels and saints, may God bless all of you in a very special way. As you prepare for the birthday of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, may God bless all of you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. May God bless all of you.